Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this second Sunday after Holy Trinity is our epistle reading, the first letter of St. John, the third chapter, verses 13 through 18. These are the words of the Lord, and so we pray, sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will be reading the text as we go. Starting with verse 18 here, John, or rather the Holy Spirit, speaking as the Spirit of Christ, says, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and in truth. It is easy to say things like this. How, as they say, are the roads to hell paved? Actions, we also say, speak louder than words. But God is not like that. What he says happens. His words, he speaks, and he does at the same time. What he says happens always. But not us. Well, not us until we are baptized into Jesus. Until a new man arises in us that does what he says and will say what he says. Yet, regrettably, not always. That is why St. John is writing to us, the church, to each of us. He is telling us of our life in the church, that is, in Christ, that is, in the world, but not of the world. That is, doing things God's way instead of the way the world, the wide world, does things out there. And because we do these things as Jesus says to, John tells us then, do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We do hear it, and at times fear it, that which the world is going on about. But they are just condemned men on death row. They have little that they can do to us. That is what the whole world of unbelievers are. Dead men walking. Already judged by God. Already sentenced on the highway to hell. Unless they too become part of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, by water and the word. Jesus did die for them and for the whole world. Even though most of them will reject and not allow him to pay their way out of the death sentence that hangs over them. But they too can be rescued. And that is exactly why it isn't over yet. Why we have to put up with this hatred, this rejection. And it is always why Jesus has not come back yet to end things here. In the meantime, John tells us, we know that we have passed, this is verse 14, passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. He is saying we have walked away from death, hell and the devil, from the world and its ways that are informed and established by the devil. We love instead of hate. I don't care if some have claimed that Christians have and will still hate and murder in the name of God. That has been done. History is full of it. But they're not of us that do such things. If they have or if they do, they are not Christians. Just like John tells us. John, who is speaking for God, writing God's word, says, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. People who claim this just have not read the Bible, because Christians love. But how do we know that difference? How do we know how to act and act rightly? Jesus, his word, What did he say? What did he say for us to be like and do? John explains it to us in this text. But, and this is so critical, first, he gives. First, he speaks. He writes to us the gospel. And it is that fact, that historical fact, promised God's actions to and for us. And that is the very thing that gives us the reason. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to figure it out or us to be better or any good thing to crop up in us or be shown in our lives. It is this very thing, God's actions, that gives us the reason. And then the ability here and now to do and be Christians. As no, we cannot be this. We cannot be separate from the world. We cannot act differently. We cannot think or know differently unless he acts first and acts upon us and in us first. He has. He does. He will. And more importantly, he is doing this right now. His Holy Spirit gives us the faith to accept, believe, and act upon it. This, right from and in and with these words of life. The words of the gospel that say what Jesus did for you, for me. And this fact and this word is precisely and only why we can do something like this too. John reminds us that this is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. Thinking about this, if this is the only life, why would anybody want to waste it helping somebody else? Why would we want to waste our life by dying so that someone else could live, if this is all there is? If we only gain in this life, why would we throw it all away for someone else? This is how we come to know love. He laid down his life for us. Paul talks about this too. We would be to be pitied far above anybody else in the world if there was no resurrection. Instead, Jesus said, there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for another. And he did. And so, if need be, we should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This may not always be literally dying for someone else, although that has happened. But John goes on to tell us that it also can look like this too. Verse 17, if anyone has the world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, what do? We have been given, as the Bible says, given blessings that runneth over, a table in the wilderness in the middle of a world that hates us. But we still have. We have been given some of that world's goods, food and shelter and clothing. So if we have been given these, then also we are to give to those in need. No, we will not be like the world. No, not hoarding because this is all there is. Not stingy because if we give ours away, there will be nothing for us. Maybe there will be nothing left. No, maybe our children won't. They don't know. They don't believe. They don't understand. They're afraid. They have to look out for just number one. No one else is, but wait a minute. Christians are. Jesus is. Because John says, if we close our hearts against him, this brother that is in need, how does God's love abide in us? We would then be showing that we are not loving our neighbor as ourselves. We're not doing as we have been done to by God. And He, without question, has richly blessed us. First and foremost, the forgiveness of all our sins. There is nothing, that's the only reason we're here. If anything else, that is the only reason the church exists. The forgiveness of sins. That is the center of theology. Because that is what would take it all away and send us to hell. There would be no reason to step in here. We couldn't stand before God without that. We have no right to. We would be turned into a pile of ashes if we dared to, without the forgiveness of sins, without Christ covering us. That is the greatest gift, and the greatest gift to give away. But what about everything else? We have been richly blessed. But this is not about repaying anything either. We can't repay what God has given us. We should push that out of our minds. And we are not speaking about seeking to pay back for those who have hurt us either. We're not looking for revenge. This is not evening the score in positively or negatively any way here. Jesus has done that already. This is about sharing the wealth. As yes, there is plenty. There is plenty and to spare. We've been reading, studying John, the Gospel of John in Bible study, and in John 6, there's the feeding of the 5,000. They picked up 12 basketfuls afterwards. There is plenty and to spare. God does everything in abundance. It is pressed down and it runs over. We cannot take it all in. We will never take it all in. There is not ever an end to God. There will be eternity of being in that. Ever, always. We can't scarcely understand what that means. But there is never a lack. God always gives, and we will never be in need. Truly. There will be people say, well, yeah, but I lost my job. Yeah, I don't have enough to do this. There will be some here temporary, what looks like dire moments. But what is that compared to eternity? God will not see the children begging bread. That's His promise to us. And that's why we're here. What the church is here to do is to supply. He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory. He owns cattle on 1,000 hillsides. And He doesn't even need that. He takes a couple of fish and some loaves of bread and He feeds 5,000. And not just once, there's 4,000 too later on. We are covered. We are covered by Jesus who owns everything. And so this is mostly all about simple acts of kindness. Mercy. It's such a funny thing for people to be surprised. As if we would do anything else. As if, yeah, we don't expect people to do this. We don't expect even God to do this for us. That is a strange thing. Why would He? Why would we expect people? They have to worry about themselves. They have to worry about their family. Why would we expect mercy? Why? Don't return angry words. If somebody says something, we're right back, right ready with the same kind of words. But no, we give and help even your enemies. And that is such a neat thing if anybody's ever had that experience. Someone who is out to get you, or someone who's mad at you and they're going to do something, but you turn around and you do something good. You bless them somehow. It just muddles them. It puts them in a head spin. And maybe, for me, on one occasion, that person turned into a friend. It's amazing what that does. The Bible says it heaps coals of fire on their head. I don't really know. I've never investigated what that really means, that idiom, what the Bible's talking about there. I should do that sometime, but it's just an amazing thing how that turns people around. Return goodness for evil. People don't know what to do with it. And it really does good. It is an incredible thing. And God has done that for us. Give and help even your enemies, because God has done this with us. We are born his enemies, and yet at the same time, while we were sinners, he died for us. That is just an amazing thing. Not because in the future we would be good, because we're never good enough. We're not even like a tiniest little thing ever pleasing God on our own. Never. We don't kid yourself. We're not going to ever be that until we get fully converted into a saint on the last day. We do not do, even our best works are tainted with sin. We can't help it. And even greater is when we do these things for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But then there are other things too that we do, that Christians do, that the world does not. Lots of things. We tell the truth, even if they are unpopular and uncomfortable things. The offending list, especially these days, is long, and I need not go into it here, except to mention that the greatest of these offending things is to say and tell people that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And anyone is only saved by his actions, not theirs. His choices, not theirs. His gift, not their work. There are a lot of Christians out there that think differently. But offensive or not, that message has the power to save even the worst of us. All by a gift of faith from those offensive words from our mouths. This message that is inspirited. I use that word inspirited because the Holy Spirit promises to be there. He will speak with the words that you speak when you're speaking his words. Even though that is what they hate the most, this is that which could cause them to believe and then trust for eternal life. Those enemies out there. And this we, the church, does after clothing and feeding those in need, of course. But the message of Jesus is far more long-term. And that is what John means when he says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Clothes, food, and then the cross of Jesus. As we know that if we give a man a fish, right? You've heard this. You feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, and he can eat for a lifetime. But tell him about Jesus while fishing, Clint, and you may be involved in saving him for eternity. All because and from this fact that he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, for them. His act in deed and in truth. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.